So this morning we continue in our series in Luke entitled All About Jesus. Today we've moved into Luke 6 and we'll consider the Lord of the Sabbath. If you look across the page earlier, Jesus ate with sinners before being questioned about fasting. There you'll see in Luke 5 verse 33 that he was asked by the Pharisees, "Why do John's disciples and us fast, but you and your disciples don't?" Well, Jesus gave an answer in relation to a bridegroom being present. He was saying when the bridegroom is present, celebrating is appropriate. And Jesus was illustrating that he is the bridegroom and his disciples do not fast. Why? Well, because to do so in his presence would be completely inappropriate. Fasting had developed as a result of man's traditions rather than God's word. Luke shows us that Jesus isn't concerned with man's interpretation and laws, which is a good job, really, because man has some rather interesting laws. Do you know? There are still laws in England which date back to medieval times. Some of these laws are strange, others are ridiculous, and some are still in existence today. For instance, in Greater London, the Metropolitan Police Act states, a plank of wood must not be carried along the pavement. It can only be moved if it's being unloaded from a vehicle or taken into a building. Here's another one. Technically, it's illegal to fly a kite in a public space. This law was brought in to prevent them from being a common nuisance to local people. Or what about this one? You can't walk cows down the street in daylight. Between the hours of 10 and 7 p.m., cattle must stay off the streets. Some conjecture, amazingly, they allowed road hogs on the streets every day, but cattle must remain off them. Perhaps sticking with the cattle, do you know that it is prohibited to be drunk whilst managing cows? Apparently, being drunk whilst managing cattle is extremely dangerous. Now, I thought being drunk was dangerous full stop, because it puts people at risk. But in medieval times, it was particularly a particular concern when you controlled cows. Do any of you shake your rug in the street? If you do, then that's illegal too. Beating or shaking any carpets, rugs or mats before 8 a.m. is strictly forbidden. Here's another. It's against the law to have a pigsty in front of your house. Some conjecture would appear that bedrooms are okay, kids, but you'd be a common nuisance if it's out the front. I don't know about you, but I love some of these. Last one, killing a swan. It's actually illegal to kill or injure a swan as they belong to the, well, they used to belong to the queen and now they belong to the king. And this law dates back to the 12th century when the crown claimed ownership. All mute swans belong to the crown, which prevent people from eating them. Now, I don't know how many of these you still observe, but Jesus isn't concerned. He's only concerned with what God's word says. He's not concerned with man's interpretation and with his interpretations and rules, but only with God's word. Therefore, in our passage this morning, Jesus shows us the appropriate way in which to keep the Sabbath. And he also teaches us how we can apply this teaching and follow his example. So from these conflicts, Jesus teaches us many things concerning God's word. Now from reading the text, hopefully you'll have noticed that there are two conflicts in this passage. Two conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees. Let's just look at the first of these together. I've called it eating the grain. Look at verses 1 through to 5. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and, taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" So Jesus and his disciples are going through the grain field on one Sabbath. And as they walk, they pick some heads of grain, they rub them, and they eat the kernels. Now, gleaning by hand was permitted under the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 23, verse 25 says, "If you enter your neighbor's cornfield, you may pick the ears from your with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to his standing corn." Now, the eating of the grain was not the problem for the Pharisees. Their problem was that this picking and eating of the grain was on a Sabbath. You know, when the disciples did what they did, in the eyes of these religious leaders, the disciples were guilty of reaping, threshing, winnowing, and preparing food. So as a result, there are at least four violations in this one mouthful. But notice, Jesus and his disciples were not breaking the law of Moses. Instead, they were breaking the laws and traditions of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, how Jesus responds to this charge is fascinating. Jesus could have said that he just wasn't breaking the law of Moses, and he might well have been breaking their traditions, but he was not breaking that law of Moses. But he doesn't respond that way. Instead, Jesus wants to go deeper. He wants to go deeper and truly address the heart of the problem. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, who were confident in their scripture knowledge. He questions if they've ever read or understood their Bibles. He says in Luke 6, verse 3, doesn't it? "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" He implies that they were ignorant of that essential point in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through to 6. In those days, God rejected Saul and anointed David to serve as king over Israel. But Saul wasn't dead yet. And because of Saul's envy, David had to run for his life. And David left in such haste that he didn't gather much in the way of provisions. And neither did the men he was traveling with. I guess you could say they left kind of empty-handed. So they went to the tabernacle, and there they met the priest and asked for bread. However, the only bread that was available was the consecrated bread, which according to Leviticus 24, 5 to 9, is reserved only for the priests to eat. For David and his men to eat this holy bread would be a violation of the law of Moses. You know, we know this because Jesus says it himself there in verse 4. He says he entered the house of God and, taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. So Jesus says that this act was unlawful. Nevertheless, David and his men ate some of the consecrated bread. So what is the point that Jesus is making by referring to this incident? Well, I think the point is, human hardship is more important than religious rituals. Human hardship is more important than religious rituals. Although David broke the law, it doesn't mean that we can break the law. And Jesus is arguing that if it was proper for David's men to eat the holy bread, then it was also proper for his disciples to pick and eat grain on the Sabbath. Sadly, this is exactly what many people steeped in tradition can't accept. They don't believe that what God really wants is mercy before sacrifice. Hosea 6, verse 6 tells us, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." They don't believe that love to others is more important than their traditions. They don't believe that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Psalm 51, 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." One commentator said this, any application of the Sabbath law, which operates to the detriment of man, is out of harmony with God's purpose. So the incident with David was a valid defense. Why? Well, because it was a case of eating, because it happened on the Sabbath, and because it concerned not only David, but other men. Now, in Matthew's account of the story, which can be found in Matthew 12, verses 1 through to 8, there's an important sentence that Matthew records, which Luke doesn't. In Matthew's account, Jesus gives an exception that the Jews were to understand, an exception they were to understand in their application of God's law. If you want to turn to it, please do, but otherwise I'll just read it. Luke 12, verse 7, Jesus says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. There's that quote from Hosea 6, verse 6, a verse that we just mentioned. And what did God mean through Hosea? Well, the people of Israel were still offering sacrifices and giving of their worship, but they were neglecting the principles of God: justice, righteousness, mercy, and love. And later on in Luke 11, verse 42, we'll see Jesus condemn the Pharisees on this. Let me read that verse. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Jesus points out that they tithe every little thing, but neglect the big things, such as the principles of God, his mercy, his justice, faithfulness, and the love of God. David and his men are running for their lives as Saul is trying to kill them. They're hungry. They need to keep moving. Should the priest have told David that they must all die of hunger? Of course not. So the priest did the right thing, because preserving life is greater than preserving bread, even when it's holy. Does this mean that David could now decide to eat holy bread whenever he wanted? Of course not. To do this would be rebellion against God. He'd probably die. But in this circumstance, if the priest had not given David the holy bread, then he'd have broken the other principles of God concerning mercy and life. That is what Jesus is teaching here. Human hardship comes before religious ritual. Life, justice, and mercy cannot be broken in order to keep the Sabbath. Now, in Mark's account as well, his account of this story, he adds a further comment from Jesus. In Mark 2, verse 27, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So you can imagine that the Pharisees are now, they're fuming. To them, the opposite was true. Man must conform to the law, no matter what the inconvenience or need. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. Instead, he asserts his own authority. Look what he says there in verse 5 of our passage. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus says here that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And as the Lord of the Sabbath, he was not offended by his disciples' actions. And if he's not offended, then these Pharisees should not be offended either. Jesus had the authority to know if his disciples had broken the Sabbath law. Why? Because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Son of Man. He's Jesus. Now, Luke doesn't record how the day ended, but you'd imagine that the Pharisees went off incensed by what happened. You know, the situation between Jesus and the Pharisees became even more intense. Although they were perhaps a little bruised by the encounter, the Pharisees remained undeterred. And if anything, they became more hostile and more aggressive towards Jesus. So I guess if this first confrontation was considered round one, then round two is on its way. Let's look at that confrontation Jesus had with the Pharisees. healing the pain. Look at verses 6 through to 11. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teacher of the law, who were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Again, Luke records this confrontation happening on another Sabbath. Like on the previous Sabbath, the Pharisees were looking to accuse Jesus. We see in Luke 6, verse 7, they wanted to watch Jesus closely to see if he would heal anyone. Because the rule the Pharisees exercised was that healing was only allowed on the Sabbath if a person's life was in danger. Here, the man with a shriveled hand was probably not in any danger of dying. So according to the Pharisees, this man's suffering could wait until tomorrow. Thankfully for the man, Jesus didn't share their opinion, rules, or rituals. Jesus knew exactly what the Pharisees were thinking, so he proceeded. He proceeded to be gracious and attended to the man's need right away. There was no waiting until tomorrow for Jesus. He was willing to heal him and willing to heal him immediately. It does beg the question, what sort of person would like to see someone suffer? Surely showing compassion to someone in need is more important than the law. The law in this case being the Sabbath, but not for these flawless Pharisees. Their purpose on this day in the temple was not worship, but entrapment. They were so obsessed with catching Jesus that they were willing to do anything. Willing to do anything to, I guess, shut him up and put an end to his ministry and teaching. Now, the Pharisees may well have been short-sighted, but Jesus wasn't. Our Lord sees our need and is willing to meet it anywhere and anytime. So in verse 8, he tells the man, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." And Luke tells us that the man did just that. He got up and stood in front of Jesus. This was a miracle that Jesus wanted everybody to see. And with the man standing in front of him and everyone present, Jesus then turns to speak to the Pharisees. Look what he says there in verse 9. "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life, or to destroy it?" What was the point Jesus was making here? What was he getting at? In his question to the Pharisees, Jesus emphasized the truth about the Sabbath. The point is, there is never a wrong day to do something truly right. God's law was not to prevent us from doing what is good and right. God's law was not to be used as an excuse for not doing what is good and right. Sadly, the Pharisees clearly neglected acts of compassion and love to the needy. Instead, in this case, they were more interested in plotting to bring down Jesus. So whilst they did evil in their plotting to destroy the life of Jesus, Jesus was doing good by saving the life of the man with a shriveled hand. Jesus wanted to restore whilst the Pharisees wanted to ruin. What twisted motives. You know, as Christians, we must remember to display love and compassion to all. There is never a wrong day to do something which is truly right in God's eyes. Who remembers the dear old lady who fell on Valley Road outside church one Sunday? If you do, then great. If you don't, then let me just elaborate. On Sunday before the morning service, a dear old lady fell in the road. She tumbled off the pavement landed headfirst into the oncoming traffic. Whilst two cars just drove past, there were a number of the church that went to her, Susan being one of them. I also went over. However, I have to say, I don't think I was much help. But anyway, as I walked towards her, should I have stopped to think first? Should I, along with the others, have turned back and gone into church? Because by helping this dear lady would have meant that we'd have missed the service. Is it okay to help someone in need on the way to a church service? Well, the answer is yes. Because we can't apply God's law in such a way as to violate God's law of life, love, and righteousness. That's the point. You know, it was the same with the man that turned up a bit worse for wear at prayer meeting one night. Was Phil right to go and help the man? Or should he have said to him, I can't do a Scouse accent. Come back tomorrow, mate. I can give you a hand in the morning. That's terrible, isn't it, in terms?
Yeah.
Now, Phil was right to go and help. The man needed assistance. And besides, the prayer meeting was able to continue without him. So Jesus was right to heal the man with the shriveled hand. And Jesus healed him with the command to stretch out your hand. With the word of God, the disease was reversed and new flesh appeared. New life had been created. The man's healing was instant and immediate. Just focus on that command for a moment. Stretch out your hand. That command that Jesus gave. You know, what is remarkable here? He's commanding the man to do something impossible. Something impossible given his current condition. You'd imagine this was something the man had longed to do, but couldn't. Now, some conjecture here, but can you imagine the sort of conversation afterwards? Jesus, do you know how many times I've longed to do what you've asked? I've longed to shake hands with a new acquaintance. I've forgotten what my wife's skin feels like. I've forgotten how to pick up something from the table. So what is the difference here? Well, the difference is the word of God. At Jesus' words, the man could do the impossible. Jesus gave both the command and the ability to fulfill it. Look how quickly Jesus can change a shriveled hand into a healthy hand. In the same way, Jesus can quickly change a shriveled heart into a healthy heart. You know, our passage ends with the Pharisees furious. They're filled with rage. When Jesus did this miracle on the Sabbath, he met the needs of this man. And at the same time, he broke their petty religious rituals of the establishment. Yet the Pharisees' fury and plotting to murder Jesus, they considered appropriate. Now, this was a far greater violation of the Sabbath than healing this man's hand. You know, Jesus often rebuked the religious leaders of his day for this kind of heart. Now, one example can be found in Mark 7, 8 and 9. Jesus said to the religious leaders in that passage, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." You know, Jesus wasn't trying to reform the Sabbath, but wanting to tell them that they'd missed the point. So as we finish this morning, what can we take away from this passage? Well, firstly, let's try and remember this. Human hardship will always be more important than religious rituals. We shouldn't do what the Pharisees did. We mustn't place tradition above truth. You know, all churches have traditions, including this one. But we must never place our traditions above God's law. Yet we should not apply God's law in such a way as to violate others. We should not violate God's law of justice, righteousness, mercy, and love. You know, the Pharisees put their religious rituals above the needs of Jesus' disciples. In the same way that David had to eat, so did the disciples whilst in the grain field. But we must remember, exceptional circumstances don't make new rules. Just because David ate the holy bread once did not mean that it was lawful to do it again. God's laws are strong and firm and must be obeyed at all times. But that is the rule. We should honour God with what he says in his word. Yet we should not apply God's laws in such a way as to break some of God's other laws. As a result, we need to be consistent in how we understand God's law. You know, David was okay in what he did this time, and so too were Jesus' disciples. Secondly, there's never a wrong day to do something truly right. God's law was not to prevent us from doing what is good and right. God's law was not to ever be used as an excuse for doing what is good and right. You know, as Christians, we must remember to display love and compassion to all, knowing there's never a wrong day to do something truly right in God's eyes. Forget the foolish ways of the Pharisees, because God gives us a clear mind to praise and honour him in all that we do each and every day. Amen.